Amen. What a blessing to be here, as always. You want to turn your Bibles to John chapter 19. Christopher's a little bit biased right up here today. Or to the singing, I should have said. He was singing all his favorite songs. He was singing any of ours. It was all his. I don't care about anybody else. Amen. This is, I know we're not in the approach of Easter, but it's not an Easter message. But it's a message where I've been reading and took something out of. It says in verse 1, then Pilate, John 19, when Pilate therefore took Jesus, scourged him, and the soldiers plaited the crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him on a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and I have the power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except that were given me above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down to judgment in the place that is called in the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth from the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title, and he put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. It was written in Hebrew, and Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests and the Jews to Pilate, Write not, King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts, every soldier a part, also his coat, now the coat was without seam, woven from top to bottom, and so on and so on. We'll stop there, amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, but we thank you, Lord, for the sermon this morning. We're going to Mark, Father, and ask, Lord, for a blessing, Lord, upon the sermon this evening, Lord, if your word be spoke, Father. And Father, we do love you, Lord, and we do need you more and more in these last days, Lord, as we see, Lord, the things that's coming to pass, Lord, and the things that's coming about, Lord, and the people denying you more and more. Lord, help us to stay firm, stay true. Help us, Lord, to stay Lord, in your word, Father, and Lord, in your church too, Father, doing your will. Lord, we ask at this time, Lord, that you just shut us in thyself, Father, that your will and your word be done. Lord, in this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Brother Mark preached an absolutely amazing service this morning. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy all of them, but he preached a really amazing one this morning, and it was quite good, I have to admit. Me and wife are sitting talking over, but you know, when I was sitting listening to Brother Mark preach this morning, I was sitting thinking, has he been reading my notes? You know? Because sort of the same line, if you like, on things that I was, I'm speaking on this evening. But you know something? A preacher once preached his congregation, and he preached the same message for months. And finally somebody came up and turned around and said, "Preacher, you keep preaching against all these things, and you haven't changed your message for months. Why not?" And he said, "The message will change when you change." Plain and simple. That's the way it should be. Amen. It's God's message, not ours. Amen. Well, I know it's not April, and I know it's not coming to the resurrection, you know, for a message that has all this in it. But I want to look at something that Pilate said this evening. After they brought Jesus, he said, "I had the power," but he didn't. God gave him the power, but he didn't release him. And it went on, and it came to verse 19, where Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." I like that, amen. Can't beat that title. That's what he put on. The title read, "Many of the Jews," for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in the Hebrew, and in the Greek, and in the Latin. Pilate wanted everybody to know that was the King of the Jews, amen. And he put it in all languages so that they could understand. But just like most people get upset when they don't like what they read or what they hear. So then the chief priest came of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews." But he said, "I am," or less said, "I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, and this is our text this evening, "What I have written, I have written." And that was it. Pilate says, "What I have written, I have written." And I want to preach this evening on the subject, "I have done what I have done." Plain and simple. That's basically what Pilate said. It's done. I did it. Not changing it. It's done. So we see here, I don't know, maybe Pilate got a little bit of a backbone and turned around and said, "You know, I'm going to shut these guys up. I don't care. I'm going to put it on the cross that this is, it's entitled, this was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." You know, he was letting people know it is the King of the Jews, amen. And people didn't like hearing Jesus being called King of anything, never mind King of the Jews. So he decided, the people came to him and said, "We don't like that." Pilate said, "It's done." You know, there's many things in our life. What does it mean to say, "I've written what I've written," or "I've done what I've done"? There's a lot of things that we would love to change. Things that we regret, things that we have did, or we have said, or carried out. But you know something? What is done, is done. There is no going back to yesterday. You know, you can't, if you get a doctor and a doctor goes right and they got this person, I don't know what's wrong with them, but they're getting sicker and they're getting sicker and they're getting sicker, and all of a sudden the person dies. And the doctor then finds a cure, but it's too late because the person's already dead. He can't do it anymore. He can't go back to yesterday and change what was done. It is done. Doesn't mean that it's gone or forgotten, because the old wicked devil, amen, likes to bring up the past. That's his job. He likes to bring things to remembrance, especially the Christians, of things that went on. So what does it mean to say, it's done. What I've done, it is done. Do you know, I've been talking to a lot of people, even young Christopher can learn from examples. I remember when he passed his test and got his car, the piece of advice that I gave him was, if you get more friends, get rid of them. Plain and simple, get rid of them, because if they weren't there before the car, they are not friends because of the car. And I learned that the hard way, so I learned from the things that I have done. And you know, people, young people, and young Christians, and even older people, need to take a lesson out of the people who have done it. Who has been there and bought the t-shirt, so to speak. There's a lot of things we would love to change, but we can't. We can't go back and say, you know, I would love to change that. No regret to go back and say, I would love to change that. I should have bought a lotto ticket last week and had those winning numbers. But you can't change anything about it. You'll never get those numbers again, and you'll never win that lottery. You can't change yesterday. You cannot change last week, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. It is done. It's gone. It's in the past. But we have something that is ahead of us. It's called the future. And maybe the future in 10 minutes, or a day, or a week, or a year. That, my friends, we can change. We can alter our future. We can alter the things that is ahead of us. And we can do it by taking a lesson from the things that we did in the past, amen. I'm sure that, you know, Pilate maybe got a bit of a backbone to write, this is the King of the Jews, in all the languages for all the people to see. You know, maybe after Jesus rose from the dead, he goes, oh dear me, I shouldn't have crucified him. I should have just let him go. It really is the Son of God. But do you know something? The same way that Pilate written, I have written what I have written. I'm not changing it. It's done. It's the same way that he couldn't go back and say, I would have did that different. It's done. People need to get a grip and start forgetting about the past and remembering what future holds for them. They can alter that. Do you know, I was talking to a bomber. This guy spent a lot of time in jail for bombing. And he was telling me, I don't know if it was the UDA or the UVF or whatever he was in. And he knows that I'm a Christian. And he was sitting telling me that he finally got things right. And he told me last night, he said, I went and saw my pastor. We'll alter his church choices later. He's in the Elim church, but he said that he went and saw the pastor of the church and said that he now is ready to put the things behind him and start a new future. To put his past away. And we're talking about how you cannot change what was done. I'm sure the person that's serving time in jail for murder wishes they could change the fact that that person was killed. But they can't. It's done. That person is dead. They cannot be brought back to life. You know, if you steal something, you cannot basically in a sense go back and say, there it is, but it's sort of short a wee bit, or it's old, or it's used. It's not brand new anymore. You've stole it. You can't change it. Do you know, there's things in the past that we can't change. But there's things today we can. Things we don't like about ourselves. The things that alter what we believe and what we do. Things like, I should read my Bible more. Stop saying it, just read your Bible more. Things like, I need to pray more. Stop saying it, pray more. There's no point saying I need to when you know you need to. Just do it. Plain and simple. Just do it. There's a lot we can learn from our past. We can't take it and we can't change it. Can't. done. It's gone. We can look back and we can see. Do you know the word repent? Do you know what that means? To change. It means turn, change. That's what repent means. We can repent and go on. Not repent and dwell, but oh, I shouldn't have done it. You don't dwell. There's pretty much sad and pathetic Christians out there who dwell on what they did wrong. And they spend most of their miserable life dwelling on what they've done wrong. And instead of saying, I did it, I can't change it, I need to go on. The devil brings it to their members and they dwell on it. But we can use our past. We can use our past so that young ones can learn from our mistakes. I remember telling Christopher honestly about his car. And I said, Christopher, learn from my mistake. I made that mistake so that you would not have to. I made mistakes so my kids would not have to. I can turn around and say, my kids must think, I always thought like my mom and dad, but my kids must think me and my wife are really, really smart and clever. Not that they think we did it before, because we were your age too. We know because we made those mistakes. We know because we did those things. And that's why as parents, we tell our children, don't do it! Because in our past, we have done it. And we're trying to tell people to learn from our mistakes. Don't do those things. There's consequences for it.
Right.
Young ones can learn. Learn from the people who have done it. Do you know the Bible has more bad than good?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that? You read the Bible and you will find out there is more bad things in the Bible than there is good things. Brother Mark hit on this morning about the Jews were like one of the worst, if you like, you could say, you probably put the good they've done in their few chapters, and the rest of the Bible is only bad. But God has, in the Word of God, He didn't say, let's leave this bad stuff out. He said, learn from the mistakes of the people. Learn from what the Jews did wrong. Learn from Solomon and David and everybody else in the Bible that did something wrong. Learn from what they did wrong. And don't do it. That's why God has put the bad in the Bible. Not so you can go out and repeat those things, but that you can avoid those things and learn what pleases God and learn what displeases God by reading your Bible. So the Bible has more bad than it has good. Do you know, I was talking, I think it was the Jehovah's Witness, learning about hell. They don't like the word hell. They don't like about hell. It's not there. I'm sorry. But if you open your Bible, you will find an awful lot in the Word of God regarding hell. It says a lot about it. It says about gnashing of teeth. It says it's a place of torment. It says it's a place of utter darkness. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place where the lost, the people who are not saved, go for an eternity. It says all of that in the Bible. And God has put all that gruesome and nasty stuff in the Bible so that you, Christian, wouldn't go there.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. So you wouldn't go there. We cannot change yesterday. But we can change today. We can change every single thing that we do from this minute onward. We can change I was talking to my kids about reading their Bible, and I said, please kids, we start off with 3 chapters a day, and I would like you to read on your own. A week went past, and not one of them read an extra chapter on their own at all. So it has went up to 4 chapters a day. But we'll see what happens, because the kids soon they get up to 5 chapters again, because they need to learn that they need to open the Bible on their own and read it. take the mistakes of the people that have left church. They have left it because they didn't read their Bible. They have left it because they didn't stay in their Bible. They have left it because they doubted their Bible. They have left it because they did not like what the Bible had to say, and they got out of it. Learn from their past mistakes. Learn from my past mistakes. From the pastor's past mistakes. Learn so that you young ones don't fall into the same snare or the same trap as we have. We have a lot more than years on the younger ones. We have a lot more experience. We have been bitten and kicked and punched and fell into traps and evenly, openly walked voluntarily down the devil's path. So we have enough experience to turn around and say, don't go there. Don't do that. That will lead you the wrong way. Brother Mark was saying about sin and how people glorify sin. Do you know what I heard this week? John took up a customer and he asked, "Chris, where are you going?" He said, "I'm up to such and such, he's going to see a hypnotist." John said, "Don't mind me asking, what are you going to see a hypnotist for?" And she says, "Well, you know, I slept with the guy 17 years ago. And my daughter now wants to know who her daddy is. And I don't know who slept me. So I'm trying to use a hypnotist to find out who her daddy is." That's what was said. And that, Leonard, is not funny. That is what was said. That a person had to go to a hypnotist to remember who she went out with and had marital relationships unmarried with. Learn from the people who have made the mistakes. Learn from the people who were picking up the garden path. Amen. Learn so that you won't have to do that. So that you know when things or temptations or the old devil or the world or sin comes your way, you can know and say, "Get me hence, Satan. I am not doing it." Because I know where it leads to. I've seen the people that it has affected. I have cried with them. I have prayed with them. I have heard their hurt because of what they have did wrong. Learn from those people. God has put the bad in the Bible for us Christians to learn. What do you think God wants you to learn? So you can do it better? So you can go down and say, "Well, I can do that a lot better than he can." No! God has put all that in the Word of God so that you and me as Christians can keep as far away from it as possible. Plain and simple. They avoid it. Stay clear. Dodge it. Run from it. Get out of the way. Just leave. Because you know where it leads to. I was able to tell young Christopher where my past led to. My driving experience with my so-called friends going faster, faster. Then when the car was hitting a brick wall or getting crashed, they were nowhere about. And then when it came back, you know, because I had another car, they were out in stupid stands doing the same stupid stuff, and they were sitting going, "Go faster, go faster." And then when I finally got saved, there was not a friend in sight. Why? Because they didn't like Stan at all, never mind the new one or the old one. They were out to get whatever they could from whatever they can. Avoid people like that. We have made mistakes. If you're in this church today and you think you haven't, you're fooling yourself. Use your past. I told this guy, he was on about, he wishes he could change the past. I said, "You can't. But you can use your past so others don't have to do your mistakes." That's called your testimony. You can use it to help our Christians. So they do not have to go down the same sin-trodden path that we have went down. Pilate said, they come up, they didn't like it. Pilate says, I have written what I have written. It's done. I am not changing it. That's what he says. They didn't like it. But it's done. I am not changing it. Your past, your yesterday, it's done. You cannot change it. But you can change tomorrow. You can change everything about tomorrow. You can change the time you get out of your bed at. You can change the numbers of chapters you read in your Bible. You can change the length of time and the people you pray for. You can do that. But you cannot do nothing about yesterday. Do you remember Brother Allen was sitting listening to one of his sermons? And it was he was giving off about people going, well, Pastor, I have nothing to do in the church. Like, I have no leadership or I don't have any role or whatever. And he said, well, you have nothing to do. He said, I'll tell you what you do. If you go grab the phone book, you start at A, you end up at the very end of the chapter, or the end of the book. You call all the people in there. You invite them all to church. And when you've done that, you start all over again. And he said, I'm not telling you this because I haven't did it. He said, I have did it. He said he had a prayer list of over 2,000 people who he prayed for every single day. And he called everybody in the phone book and said, listen, I'm all folks, and I want to invite you to church. There's always something you can do. What's the song? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. Little is much. You cannot do anything about yesterday. And we have seen in this church about people living in the past. The church has had it full of them because they cannot get out of the past. I would hate to be stuck in yesterday. I would rather live for today and for tomorrow. So listen, brethren. Learn from our mistakes and don't commit the ones yourself. That's why God has put the bad as well as the good, so that you can learn from the bad and do the good. Plain and simple. Amen.
Like, shake hands and fellowship.